Turn your Bibles to John 10, verse 11. John 10, verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So this passage is all about the good shepherd and what he does for the sheep. What's the context of this text? Starting in John 9:1, you don't have to turn there, but it's all about how Jesus heals a blind man. And all these people are amazed at what he has done, this miracle. But then the Pharisees, they come on the scene, and they start having this debate. They're like, okay, well, is he the Messiah or not, who he claims he is? Because Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day, and so therefore didn't keep the Sabbath. But he also did heal this man, and no ordinary person can just do that. So they discuss this, and they come to the conclusion that God has healed the blind man, but this other guy is just trying to claim the glory for this miracle, but didn't actually do it himself. So the Pharisees, they try to convince the guy who was healed to give God the glory for this miracle, not Jesus, the other guy. So, but the guy that's healed, he won't. He says that Jesus healed him, so he must be the Christ who he claims he is. And the Pharisees, they get angry at him, and they kick him out of the synagogue. And later, Jesus finds this man, starts talking to him. And in verse 39 of John 9, it says, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might, that they which see not might see, and that which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. So Jesus tells these Pharisees that they still have sin in their life. And so now we get to our passage where Jesus tells a story about a sheep and the shepherd, explaining that the Pharisees, they still have sin in their life because they don't take care of their sheep, their church, the right way. But Jesus is the good shepherd who takes care of his sheep in the best way. So starting in John 10, verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So he starts here saying that Jesus in this parable, he's referred to as the good shepherd. But what makes him a good shepherd? Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel, verse 34. Ezekiel 34, starting in verse 11, it says, For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, I will bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken. I will strengthen that which was sick. I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. So in this passage, we see a lot of the characteristics of what a good shepherd is like. We see that in verse 12, it says that Jesus will seek out his flock when it is scattered. We also see in verse 14, he will feed them in a good pasture. And in verse 16, we get a lot of these. He says that he will seek that which is lost, bring again that which was driven away, bind up that which was broken, strengthen that which was sick, and so on. But with all these things, being a shepherd wasn't such an easy job. There were some dangers to it. It says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, it says, "And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew him." So David's telling this to Saul. He's telling that he has rescued one of his sheep from a bear and a lion, how he killed the lion and bear in order to save this one sheep. And David tells this story to give the point that just as he killed the bear and the lion, he will also kill Goliath. So another action of a good shepherd is that he will protect the sheep from predators. And we see in this passage that Daniel went to the point of risking his life just to protect his sheep. But back in our verse in John, it says that I will give my life for the sheep. So we see that Jesus, not only would he risk his life for the sheep, he takes it a step further, and he's willing to give his life for the sheep. So now we just saw all of these good characteristics of a good shepherd. Now, what are some bad ways to take care of sheep? Verses 12 to 13 in John 10 says, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep." So we just learned that the good shepherd, how he takes care of his sheep in a good way. But now we get to the hireling. A hireling is someone who takes care of the sheep. The hireling doesn't own the sheep. He works to take care of the sheep for money. So how does this hireling take care of the sheep? Verse 12 mentions that the hireling flees and leaves the sheep when the wolf comes. So now the sheep are vulnerable because there's no shepherd or hireling to defend them from the wolf. And then because of that, the wolf catches and scatters the sheep. So now not only has the real shepherd, has he lost his sheep to the wolf, now he has to go fetch the other sheep, which the wolf has scattered around. And if you remember, these are one of the qualities that the good shepherd has in Ezekiel when it says, "I will seek out my flock when it is scattered." He will go find his other sheep instead of just giving up on them. In verse 13 of our passage in John, it says, we see why the hireling flees. And it simply says, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, careth not for the sheep. So it's because he doesn't own the sheep and therefore doesn't care about them. He would run rather than risk his life for these sheep. And Jesus is telling these parables to the Pharisees and saying how they have sinned their life and that they don't take care of the sheep correctly. And in this passage, actually the hireling, it refers to those Pharisees, and that the Pharisees are like the hireling. They don't take care of the sheep, or they only take care of them when it is easy. But when danger or hard times come, they leave their sheep instead of sticking with them. Now, in John, verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and know mine." So in these next verses, we'll see Jesus' relationship with the sheep and others. So in this verse, we see Jesus' relationship with the sheep. We see that the good shepherd knows his sheep, and this doesn't just refer to by knowing them by name, but he also knows their personality. He knows if a certain sheep is sick, if one is afraid of the dark, or if one's curious and tends to wander. And just like how Jesus knows us, he knows our personality. He knows if we are naturally shy, maybe we are scared of heights, or what sin we struggle with. And in the last part of the verse, it says, now, not only does the good shepherd know his sheep, but he is known of mine, or he is also known of his sheep. So this means the sheep know the shepherd. They know that he is a good shepherd, that he will take care of them. They know that he will find them if they wander away. And just like how we learn more about God when we read his word. And now to verse 15, it says, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So in this verse, we see Jesus' relationship with the Father, and it's very similar to the Good Shepherd's relationship with the sheep. The Father knows Jesus, and so Jesus knows the Father. And because Jesus knows the Father, he knows the Father's will for him, and he gives his life for his sheep. Now to verse 16, it says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So this verse, now we see Jesus' relationship with the other sheep. He says he has other sheep, which are not part of his fold, but he wants them in his fold. So that there's going to be only one fold, there's only going to be one shepherd. And these other sheep, they refer to the Gentiles, because right now Jesus is speaking only to Jews. And the Jews believe that they're the only ones who can go to heaven because they are God's chosen people. But Jesus here is saying otherwise. He says the Gentiles are also able to come to Christ, which is very different from what the people believe. Now to verse 17 and verse 18, and this is all about Jesus' power over death. It says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So these two verses, they point back to verse 15. Remember, Jesus knows the Father, and therefore he died for his sheep. So now it says that, therefore doth my Father love me. He says that the Father loves him because he has gave his life for the sheep. And notice how it says, I lay down my life for the sheep. It says he didn't die unwillingly, but he gave up his life himself. We see more of this in the beginning of verse 18. It says, no man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. So it means that Jesus took his life without, nobody took Jesus' life without him letting them take it. But the thing is, even though he dies, it doesn't end there. It says in the end of verse 17, it says that I might take it again. And this simply means that Jesus is able to rise from the dead. He is able to take back his life. In the end of verse 18, it says, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received in my Father. So it says, now not only does Jesus have power to lay down his life willingly, but now he has power to take back his life. Remember the Pharisees, they were debating whether Jesus is the Messiah or not. Now he's claiming he is the Christ because he has power over death. So how do we apply all this? We saw in verses 11 through 14 that the good shepherd, he takes care of his sheep in a good way. He searches for them when they are lost. He takes care of them when they are sick. And he protects them from the wolf. And he knows them. Just like how Jesus takes care of us. And he knows us. So because of that, we should rely on Jesus to be our shepherd, to trust on him for our needs, because he knows. He knows when we are discouraged. He knows when we are failing. And not only does he know our problems, he knows the solution. And for that reason, we should rely on him to take care of our needs. But how do we know he is able to take care of our needs? He has the power to take care of them. We saw in the last two verses that he has conquered death. Death is something that we as humans are all subject to. But he has conquered that. So that means that God is more than capable to handle our little problems in life, whether that's trouble at work, maybe it's money issues, maybe you're simply worried about the future and you don't know what that might bring. But this says that if you are worried, that you don't have to worry about them if you're trusting God to take care of them. You don't have to turn there. It says in Luke 12, 22 through 24, it's all about how Jesus says, take no thought of your life, because just like God provides for the ravens, so he'll provide for you. And yet we are so much more valuable than them, yet we worry way too much about our stuff. But we don't have to worry about our life, because God cares for us, and he's able to take care of our needs. So now what does all this mean? What's the conclusion of this story? Jesus is the good shepherd because he cares for the sheep and loves them. He doesn't run away when the wolf comes, unlike the hireling, but instead he protects his sheep, to the point of dying for them. The good shepherd knows his sheep, just like how Jesus knows us. The good shepherd also wants to bring other sheep into his fold to take care of them, just like how Jesus wants to bring the Gentiles in to him and not just the Jews. It was God's will that Jesus died for the sheep, but Jesus has power to overcome death, which proves that he is the Messiah that the people were waiting for. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we could all be here. Thank you for this message I could preach, and I pray that we would all apply this, Lord, today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.